it's time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio, and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. Now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave. And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone, and is it a good Tuesday afternoon?
Yeah.
It's a little bit.
If you're still breathing.
Yes, yes.
You still have your mind.
It does beat the alternative, yeah, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. Well, we don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah. Maybe there's a sports sidebar in heaven. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Well, that would be interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
You join up with Walt and have a good, grand old time.
Yeah. Walter Cronkite?
No. Walt Johnston.
I don't know. Sports director emeritus. All I know about Walt Johnston, he was a very fine man from what I never met him.
He's the one who created both of this show and the Sunday show.
And good man. He was a good man. I'm not disputing that. But being a journalistic history buff,
okay.
When I hear Walt, I hear Walter Cronkite.
Really? Because I hear Walt Disney.
He wasn't a journalist.
I didn't say he was. But when you said Walt.
Walter Cronkite was an incredible journalist. And I was just way too young. I think he retired.
He was pushed out. CBS pushed him out.
You think so?
Yes, yes. They did. They pushed him out to get Dan Rather in there. And that's the way it was.
Or is.
Well, yeah. Dan's been long gone, too.
Well, Dan's still alive.
He is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dan Rather's still alive. I was such a big fan historically because I wasn't old enough to appreciate
him.
That he was born on the same day I was.
Wow.
I mean,
not the same year, but the same day.
No, not the same year. No. And they even have a school of journalism named after him in Arizona State University. Great. When I hear Walt, that's what. Ah. But I would wonder if we had a show up there,
mm-hmm.
and you'll probably join that before I do.
Oh, yes. I'm so much older.
and that the Pope would hear us. I mean, I still haven't heard anything back from the Pope. He's been a busy guy.
He's trying to get things done. Yeah.
You know, he's probably, we're way down on his list.
Yeah.
But
once he'll work his way down.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, I did get an inquiry from Cardinal Rowe, and that's promising. So, you know, in a few more months, maybe he, you know, with all the tragedies and things going on in the world, you know, he probably doesn't have time to listen to
us. No.
And we don't have to worry about interpreting.
No.
Because, you know, Pope Francis, his English wasn't his main language.
Right.
And he learned a lot of English listening to us.
Poor guy.
and American sports. So we were honored. Honored,
I tell you.
Do you notice how the band was really... Now, we listen to the band every week.
Every week.
And they come in, and it's hard for the other people to differentiate their performance because they sound the same. But to us, they were I think the heat is getting
better. Sure. I mean, you can't help but we're not used to this kind of weather normally. And for me, I can handle things a little bit cooler than I can a little bit hotter. Now, I'm talking about in the zero range. But, you know, if I'm in the 20s, I'm okay. But if I'm in the '80s, mid-80s with humidity, I'm not.
Me too. Yeah. I just don't like the heat and humidity. And all these people who move down to Florida in the wintertime, I don't mind the cold.
Mike Mace is out in Arizona.
Oh, right now?
Right now. And I talked to him more than once. And it was one time I talked to him, it was like 106 degrees. And he says, you know, you're going to laugh. I says, but the dry heat does make a difference. Not if there's no breeze. Yeah. No. And 100 degrees is still stinking hot.
They were up to 116 here not too long ago.
Really? Okay.
I mean, that's dangerous.
And this, we're just.
But why would anybody, I mean, Phoenix is one of the fastest growing cities there. or Maricopa County, where it's situated. Yeah. Why? Why would you go out there? And because it's equivalent to a bad winter day. You can't go out in 116.
No.
You could die. Like
my brother and sister-in-law were living in Dallas for a while. So it's just reversed. You know, in the wintertime, they go out because it's balmy. But in the summertime, they're stuck inside. So like here, we're stuck inside in the wintertime. In the summertime, we come out. She said it's kind of a reverse philosophy there. And even so, I mean, he said their summer is like March through October. And that's why it's already was 106 degrees. Like you said, it was even higher than that. Now, one thing he will admit, he's been having trouble breathing here.
Oh.
And he was having no trouble breathing there.
Well, they don't have any – the allergy. I mean, I've had people I know move out there because of severe allergies. It's a drier climate. The pollen doesn't have the
ability – So cactuses don't have pollen?
No, as far as I know, they could. They have polydents. Now, those barbs, they have polydents.
Yeah,
I mean,
if you're
a cactus without any barbs on it, you have to – they put polydent on.
I could buy that.
I don't know why. But anyway – I mean, the pollen is, but still, it's so
I just can't imagine.
Well, and what's even worse about, like, Houston is ungodly.
And it's humid. Houston
is
so humid.
Yeah, if it's 95 degrees and it's 95%, I mean, you're just dripping wet going from the car into the house.
Yes.
I mean, at least in 106, I can understand what Mike is saying. It's dry heat. You're not going to sweat as much. But what happens is they just pull the moisture out of you.
Yeah.
Because I worked out of Vegas for many years.
Yeah.
And you had to drink water. If you don't drink water, it will dehydrate you. You don't sweat.
Right.
So it just sucks it out of you. You just see puddles of water coming out of you. It's just unbelievable.
I know we were calling the Baseball World Series when we were up in Cleveland. We were hitting around the 100 degrees. And I drank all day long, and I didn't have to pee because it sweated it all out.
We don't need to know that.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
You could have said number one.
I could have said I didn't have to number one because it just – I'm thinking
– We have tender ears out there.
How come I don't have to number one? I kept asking myself that. Look at your arms. Look at your back. You're sweating.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Well, maybe, you know, our Cleveland Guardians are going to Houston.
Yeah.
They're going to Houston, just like
Dean
Martin.
Yeah.
Which I still don't understand. I know I've talked about it ad nauseum.
Well, you have to go away to come back. That's the thing, you know?
Yeah.
If you never go away, you can't go back to Houston.
Yeah, you want to just get them over with, the Guardians. Just want to
why not? They've kind of gotten over with. They're talking about bringing up the kids already, at least – outside of the local media and talking heads are talking that, saying it. Yeah, it's time to bring up the kids.
I think the season is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a possibility. Detroit last year had a very bad record going into the All-Star break and just had a renaissance. But they have players that can hit. And it, you know, they say pitching is 70-80% of the game. And our pitching hasn't been bad at all.
Our pitching has not. Our bullpen sometimes has been a little suspect, but the starting pitching has somehow been there.
And we just cannot hit.
We can't hit the ball.
And you look at this lineup.
I heard him say again today, we traded the wrong
I mean,
the wrong brother.
Even Jose Ramirez had a 0-for-21.
Yeah.
0-for-21. That was the second or worst stretch of hitless at bats in his career.
And he broke it with a home run.
He broke it with a home run. Yeah. But, you know, you can't keep Jose down forever.
No.
But, and then you got Carlos Santana. He's hot and cold. Kwan. You got three legitimate hitters.
Yeah.
Kyle Manzardo. Oh, Lane Thomas was hurt again.
Well, that could be a help if he's hurt again.
Well, I, So they brought Will somebody up, Will Wilson.
Well, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that'll save
the day.
And Jonathan Rodriguez, they brought him up from AAA. He was batting .335, and he's batting a torrid 170-something.
Oh, so he fits right in.
I mean, it's just pathetic. You know, Bo Naylor, you get, you know, in a critical situation, he's up, and you know he's going to strike out or get a double, and then you got Austin Hedges, 114. Batting 114. A Major League Baseball player is batting 114. So yeah. What are they going to do? Chase DeLauder? Oh, my goodness. Well, he's going to save us. Nolan Jones is hot and cold. There isn't a consistent offensive threat on this team other than Jose Kwan and sometimes Carlos Santana.
Yeah.
And what's really frustrating as a fan is they're pitching well enough to win. I mean, when you give – look at these scores. Last Tuesday, a week ago, the Cubs were 5-2, but giving up five runs is not bad for Major League Baseball. I mean, five runs, I mean, most – you should be able to at least get closer than two.
Yeah.
We had 5-2. Then we lost 5-4 on Wednesday. Again, five runs is not insurmountable.
No, it's not.
Then it really gets bad. Thursday, 1-0 we lose. 1-0! Against a really good team, our pitchers held them to just one run. On Friday, we lose 2-1. Against Detroit, a really, really good team.
And they kept them to two runs.
Two runs. Saturday, we lose again. By the way, we've lost 10 in a row.
Yes.
Detroit 1, Cleveland 0. Zero, I tell you. And Sunday, probably the most back-breaking loss of the season. We were ahead. We were ahead by one run.
Yeah.
One to nothing. Two outs. A man on third. I think it was a 3-2, or a 2-2 count. And Class A throws a ball low. It gets through the legs of Bo Naylor, guy from third, scores 1-1. You knew it at that time.
Yeah.
That's it. We're in big number two.
We're in big number two.
So, of course, at the bottom of the ninth, we get up and nothing. Then I think the top of the 10th, they scored six runs, Detroit. Kate Smith comes in, and who's been really, really good.
Yeah.
And he gives up, I mean, total between the pitchers. Kate Smith gave up five. Another guy gave up. We lose 7-1. They scored six runs. In the top of the 10th, we get up, nothing. We could have won that game.
Yeah.
Other than a pass ball by Bo Naylor. So our defense is bad. Our offense is putrid. I can't get any worse than putrid. Horribly putrid? Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
And now we're going to another one team in Houston. I think Houston, if you hold on 1 second. Yeah, can you hold on 1 second?
I can hold on. What do you want me to hold on to? Here's
mic.
The counter.
Okay, all right. Houston. Going back to Houston. They're 20 games over 500. They're even almost as good as Detroit. And so we're going down there for a three-game series against Houston. Fortunately, they play in a dome.
Okay. So they can keep cool?
I mean, we Stuckel, they're Detroit's great pitcher. We just held that team to one run.
Yeah.
No runs to the top of the ninth, and we just blow it.
Yep.
We are now in fourth place in the Central Division. No really hope of winning the division. 15.5 games out of first place. We've lost 10 in a row. We're 40 wins and 48 losses. We're only 10 games behind the White Sox. I don't know. I just don't see where we're going to get hitting. There's no help in the minors that I can see. I hear
just
something.
Walking in the rain, going back. to Houston, Houston, Houston. I got holes in both of my shoes while I'm a walking case of the blues. Saw a dollar yesterday and the wind blew it away. Going back to Houston, Houston, Houston.
There you go.
I never knew why he left to begin with. That's going to haunt me to the day I die.
I think he just got on the wrong bus. He thought he was getting a city bus.
Well, he was going to go back. He has a feather bed, a pillow for his... I don't know. He's got a lady waiting for him. Why did he leave?
He got on the wrong bus. That's all. Right. He thought it was a city bus, and ended up on a Greyhound.
To where? Where is this place he's saying it from?
Yeah, it could be anywhere. It could be everywhere. Oh. Anywhere and everywhere.
I have to do some research on what is the... if there's a meaning behind the song Houston. There has to be a backstory of something.
There does. Many times, I don't, but many times the backstories are so much more interesting than... There's a guy on YouTube, and he does nothing but give you backstories on songs. And this was a song that three people... threw away, and yet here it was a number one hit or something. And this one had his daughter write the song, and they put it together, and it became a hit. The backstories are so much neater.
Yeah,
so
I've read, because I was way too young, about the Mamas and the Papas.
Oh, yeah.
And Monday was written like in 10 minutes.
Wow.
That became a number one hit. Monday.
The song of theirs, I heard the song of theirs. It was on a Facebook clip where they of the California Dreamin', mm-hmm. and they took out the instrumentation. It was just their voices, and the harmonies were just so absolutely perfect.
Oh, Mama!
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
And he always gave her such a hard time.
Who did they?
John Phillips gave her such a hard time, and she probably had the best voice of all of them.
Yeah. Oh, Michelle Phillips. Mm-hmm.
No,
Mama Cass. Her voice was it was such a... I mean, it's unfortunate she went on her own and died freakish death that she had.
No, she didn't die of a ham sandwich. That's urban legend. No, she did not. She had a heart issue. And she had just been over and played the Palladium and the Queen, and they loved her. And she had called back. I think she called back to... Because she stayed friends with Michelle Phillips.
Yeah.
No, she did not die.
I thought it was one of the, what do they call those, you choke on the cardiac, choking can invoke a cardiac reaction. I thought that maybe it was.
Okay. To the best of my knowledge, I've heard many people poo-poo that, or number two.
So
that.
It's a bunch
they
of,
number two
so
that.
It's a bunch of baloney about the ham sandwich?
It is a bunch of baloney, yeah. Mm. But it sounded good at the time.
Well,
because she was a big person, so why not have her choking to death? You know, come on. But what a amazing voice! Even some of the stuff she did on her own, A New World Coming, and Make Your Own Kind of Music, and things like that. She's absolutely an amazing.
Yeah, she was
voice.
Starting to break through too. I mean, unfortunately, that happened to her. But the Mama and the Pa had a lot of drama within the group.
They did. And John Phillips caused most of it, but
well, Michelle Phillips then was hooking up with the other guy in the band.
Yeah, that's after she hooked up with, you know,
and they wrote a song about it.
Did they?
Yeah,
okay.
They wrote a song about it.
And you know, as crazy as he was, what's amazing, you know, the last song that John Phillips worked on?
Stars and Stripes Forever.
No.
John Phillips, Susan?
No. John Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas.
Was he related to John Phillips?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
It was working with the Beach Boys on Kokomo.
Oh, really?
That they did that for Tom Cruise's movie, and they were asked to do it, but he said, but we want your sound to be a little bit different. So he sat in with them, and he helped lead them to that song. So he basically co-wrote that with them.
Yeah, and what was another?
Tommy Smothers.
Tommy Smothers was in the song by John Lennon, All We Need Is, I forget, something about love.
All you need is love?
All I am saying is give peace a chance. And he was the instrumental in that.
Tom Smothers was?
Yeah, I didn't
Tom
know.
Smothers was a lot more than anybody because he played such an idiot on the show.
He was not.
He was basically the creative producer of them, and he was in charge of all the writers.
Well, I wouldn't even know that they were close friends, him and John Lennon. But there was a whole bunch of people who just got to get Andy Warhol was in that. They did it in John Lennon's apartment, and that's quite a backstory.
Yeah, backstories are great. They really are.
So we really need to find out the backstory of Houston.
Backstory of song Houston.
Yeah, maybe he got picked up speeding in some southern Texas town, and he couldn't leave. I don't know. I'll do research. I'll do research. Anyway, the Guardians are pathetic. I don't think the manager, Stephen Vogt, is in danger. He just doesn't have any talent to put out there. Yeah. I mean, there's no rallies. There's no, hitting at critical times. It's just, they're boring. Not only that, they're boring. I say they're boring?
You said they're boring.
They are boring. And some of the defenses. Sunday, when they scored that run from third to tie the game up, you just had a feeling the way this team is playing, they would lose it somehow. Not only did they lose it by just having them score another run, we couldn't score again. They gave up six more runs in the top of the 10th. And it's just an example of how bad they're playing. Now everybody's saying they're playing too tight and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know how far they are in the wild card, but realistically, the pitching can't continue to be that good. So their hitting picks up and they get three or four runs. Well, I mean,
yeah, the thing is, how long is it before your pitchers just say, why am I trying this hard? Except going for a contract or free agency or something, what would encourage you?
Yeah, well, most of them are signed under rookie agreements for four, five, 6 years. I mean,
but still, disheartened.
Yeah, you're a human being.
Yeah.
You get disheartened. You're out there pitching your heart out. And can you imagine Class A, your catcher misses the ball, which he throws all the time?
Yeah.
And blows the save?
Yeah.
And then Cade Smith, who's been lights out, gets in and scores five.
And he can't get it out to save his life.
I don't know. So it's been a very, very disappointing. June. Nancy and I went to the game a week ago last Sunday, and it was the most boring baseball game I've ever seen in years. In years.
Because a lot of times a 1-0 game can be exciting if the pitching is that good. Yeah. But it isn't just the pitching. It's the fact that this team can't get a hit.
Tarek Skubal is the best pitcher in baseball right now for Detroit. And he pitched, I think, 7 or 8 scoreless innings. They bring in a guy, and we manufacture one run. And then our pitchers are lights out until that pass ball, and that was it. And I mean, you're giving up very few runs to the Cubbies, which are very good this year, and the Tigers, who are just the premier team right now in the American League. And it's just sad. It's just very, very sad. And I just don't know what they're going to do to turn it around.
What can you do?
You got Chase Elotter. That's all you hear. Chase Elotter. What's he doing? I mean, he's coming back from an injury. He's not ready now to come in, but why not give the guy a chance? I don't know. I mean, Jonathan Rodriguez, they brought him up thinking he would, John Kenzie Noel, he was batting all kinds of home runs and stuff in AAA. They're not preparing these hitters to make the step up from AAA to the majors. They just cannot. They've put all their money and chips into pitcher development. And they keep drafting middle infielders who can't hit.
Yeah.
I mean, and got the draft coming, a big deal. But I don't know. I just don't see them being a value, this is what they call it, a value-oriented team. In other words, you're cheap.
Okay.
I mean, that's what they say. And it's not their fault. They just don't have the – even though they pulled in almost 100,000 people with – between the – you know, the, over the weekend with the Detroit.
Yeah.
I mean, it was box office-wise, but that's going to plummet here soon. Why would you go and spend that kind of money to see nothing?
Yeah.
And I like the promos on the TV. It's Jose Ramirez.
Yeah.
And Stephen Kwan. Okay. Jose, and there it goes. And it's Tom Hamilton giving a home run call.
Yeah.
Right? And Stephen Kwan hitting. He's a hitting machine. Those are getting old.
Yeah.
Those are getting old. And forget about guard ball now. Remember, that was a big commercial. Guard ball is doing this and that, and they're not doing anything. Anything. I'm upset, I'm telling you.
There's something that upsets me also, and it's we have a little bit more information on this quote-unquote possible gambling link.
Oh, yes, yes.
Where when we were talking last week at this time, there wasn't really any information out except she was pulled and being paid.
Luis Ortiz.
Ortiz. Yes. And can you believe that's about? It's about two pitches.
There is some algorithm that Major League Baseball uses or hires out to try to match up a player's performance to a particular betting parlay.
Right, to a betting parlay.
Yeah. And there was two pitches. And I don't understand this.
It's the same. It was the same pitch.
Yes.
And it was the first pitch of each inning.
Yes.
Which means that's like his go-to pitch, apparently. Who calls the pitch?
The catcher.
The catcher.
I don't understand. And now they're saying, can they really trust Luis Ortiz again? Well, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think he had anything to do with it. I think if that's your go-to pitch and that's what your catcher calls and you agree, and they don't shake him off like they used to. And
no,
you know,
no,
they don't do it because they don't have the time to shake him off.
No.
But so the catcher is calling it. That's your go-to pitch. It's the first pitch of the inning. And each time it was a foul. I mean, a ball.
Yeah.
You know, because people are betting individual, the micro betting on whether it can be a ball or a strike.
Right.
On the first ball of that inning. And that's what they're basing this entire investigation upon.
Well, I would think, I mean, just thinking, you know, evidence wise, that they must not have a really great case, or if they did have a slam dunk case, he'd be suspended already.
Yes.
Without pay
for a
year or for life.
They had somebody who did a lifetime ban last year.
Yeah. So I guess there's some concern that those pitches led to a rally or something like that against Cleveland. They got to link those two pitches to him gambling himself or – I mean, what are they linking it with? I mean, is he personally benefiting from throwing those two?
That's what I'm thinking here. If they don't find an extra $30,000 to $40,000 in the account the next day suspiciously, what do you have? You have absolutely nothing except that that's the first pitch that he threw because that's what it was called by the catcher. Maybe they'd be checking the Bo's number to see if he's what his account is. I
would think they interview either Hedges or whoever was catching him,
yeah.
Naylor, more than likely, that did you call that pitch? Yeah.
That's a standard. Okay. That's a kind of a pretty much a standard first pitch for him in an inning. Yeah.
Okay. Let me see your checking account or savings account too. It's strange, isn't it? It's a strange
For a sport that is in bed with gambling, that is in bed with gambling websites, that is in bed with apps on your phone for gambling, and they're going to go after a guy because of a pitch he threw.
Two
pitches he threw to start off different innings. That's absolutely insane.
And it's going to take them through the All-Star.
After the All-Star game. It may be another week, 2 weeks after the All-Star game. Well, and I don't know why.
I would think this would be pretty on the surface case. He threw two pitches. $50,000 shows up in his somehow. And
in his accounts or his wife's account or something.
And
then poof. And there poof, you got
you're gone.
Proof.
But
and if that would have been there, it would have happened by now.
Or he personally bet on a parlay before the game that he would throw these two pitches.
But are these two separate innings?
Yeah, I just don't.
But again, he doesn't call the pitches.
So normally these guys get caught right away. I mean, because it's right there. I mean, you can show that they bet money on their own team in the NFL. They catch them right away, right?
Yes. I mean, because you know why? Because the gambling sites and
they have this algorithm.
The gambling sites report if the players are gambling.
Yeah.
And they have to do that in order to, otherwise they risk losing their access to that team for gambling.
That's right. Well, what I'm saying is that in this particular case, they had this company or app or something that they were using investigating these two pitches. So I thought it was kind of a algorithm thing that popped up to Major League Baseball security and said, aha, we may have something here. Suspend them. So with pay, which tells me they don't have a lot.
Right.
I mean, I don't ever remember somebody that I represented in a workplace. Yeah, he's in big trouble. He's in big trouble, and we're going to pay him while we're investigating. That never happens.
No.
They suspend him without pay, and then you have to negotiate to get the back pay if they don't have any evidence. That's how it normally works. So I'm just thinking out loud that this may not be anything.
I don't think it is. I didn't know what it was when we were talking last week, but the more I've seen since then, it's insanity, and they could have investigated it without suspending him.
Well, he not only suspended him, he can't have any contact with the team, and the team can't say anything about it.
No, they can't.
And so, I mean, they're making it a very serious situation. I just, it'll be interesting we could be dead wrong. They may have this guy dead to rights, and they're just...
Why would they string him along then?
I don't know.
At this point.
I don't know. But I'm sure the Players Association, who was informed about it, said, well, you don't have a lot here. You better, if you suspend them, you're going to have to pay them. Okay. I'm just trying to think all the scenarios.
So he's been suspended through the end of the All-Star break, which
with
is
pay.
July 17th with pay.
Yeah, with pay.
Right.
And he was starting to pitch really good.
Yes. He's been placed on non-disciplinary paid leave.
Okay, what's that mean?
Means they don't have any proof it means.
Yeah, I mean, if it was something that it was so serious, that's discipline.
Right.
You committed an act which is in violation of the policies and the collective bargaining agreement of Major League Baseball. That's as a disciplinary action.
But here's...
And normally every contract... collective bargaining agreement shows that you must have just cause. You must have just cause in order to effectuate discipline.
Yeah. Right.
And so I guess it's not discipline if you're not playing and they're paying you.
I guess not.
No.
Not helping your team any.
Oh, no. It's hurting the team.
Hey, here's the thing, too. Right? There are some people who are gamblers who are very, very smart.
Yeah.
And if they are watching particular starting pitchers, And it might not just be that, but if they're watching other starting pitchers, then they're looking at what he pitches and what he starts off the pitch count with and this and that. And again, the bet is he going to throw a strike or a ball?
Yeah.
And so it's the pitch itself and whether it's a strike or a ball.
I guess they're saying, well, when he threw the ball, it was really outside. I mean, really outside.
It was just a bit outside there.
Well, listen, these sophisticated gamblers put in statistical databases. I mean, they have stats on baseball for everything. So if you are a sophisticated gambler, and there are a lot of them out there, that knows that Luis Ortiz throws this pitch
right.
87% of the time.
Right.
And you can parlay that into making a dime on a dollar. I don't know. But then
is his first pitch with that pitch usually a strike or a ball. Yeah. The numbers are there for that too, are they not?
Oh, they're everything. Everything.
And look at all the insane things. Look at all the insane things that happen when the people gamble on in the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, they do everything, but
the color of the socks the guy's going to wear.
Or will the singer trip? Stupid things like that.
Yeah, right?
But I don't know. But it just adds to the burden that this team is going through playing such horrendous baseball. I don't know how popular Luis Ortiz was in the locker room, but you just got another thing that is a dark cloud over this team right now. And it's just not a good situation. Again, everything went right for the Guardians last year.
Yes.
I mean, you had clutch hitting, you had excellent pitching, even with Bieber out. Now he's supposed to be, the rumor is they'll trade him. They signed him to a contract to get him all prepared to come back. And the rumor is, well, we got to get something here. And maybe if he's, I would think that he would have to pitch a couple of games to show other teams that he's okay.
I would think so. And they, last time he went for a rehab assignment, he couldn't pitch and they
signed him. He just finished a bullpen session or something.
Simulated
game. He did okay.
But that's not the same as they had him Akron to do a start there.
I don't see him. And he's a free agent after the end of this year too. I mean,
they paid him to be injured.
$12 million
to be injured.
$12 million. Yeah. Well, I like that $12 million to get out there and injured. Well, he's a Cy Young winner, and he's a very good pitcher, but I don't know now whether he's in the future of this team or not.
If they trade him at this point, like you said, not even seen any real action yet. At this point, what could they possibly get for him?
Not much. I mean, you're coming off Tommy John surgery. The new Tommy John surgery, as they have augmented it a little bit by putting some sort of tendon mesh in there now, in addition to repairing, it's supposed to be a lot more sturdier than a traditional Tommy John.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. And the only other possibility of getting a hitter or something like that would be a Class A. You're going to get rid of Class A? I mean, he's got a contract-friendly negotiations. He negotiated a friendly ballpark or ball team contract. I don't know. I mean, if they do that, the fans are going to say, oh, you're giving it up.
Unless they get a super big time hitter. But if somebody needs pitching that bad, are they going to give up their best hitter?
That's true.
Nobody's going to give up their best hitter. If they're in the race and they have a need for a closer, the worst need in the world for a closer, are you going to give up your best batter to get to that?
Batter, but let's say you got somebody's batting 280 and with 15 home runs and 40 RBIs.
That's not worth it.
Well, to a team that's a closer's a, and they
no,
don't
I,
have
I,
a
no,
closer.
No, that's not worth it to us. to have that, to have the kind of closer that we have in Klaus A.
Yeah.
And to trade him for a 280 hitter, which is second or third best in our lineup right now, I agree, but it's not like 280 is knocking the socks off anyone.
But they're desperate for offense. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, the only, I'm just trying to tell you, the only trading capital they have is Shane Bieber and Klaus A. They're not going to get rid of Kwan.
No.
They're not going to get, Jose's not going anymore.
No.
I mean, you're not going to get anything for Carlos Santana at all. I mean, he's 39 years old, having a fairly good year.
Actually, having a pretty good year for a 39-year-old. Yeah,
but
on a team, and the thing is, if more people were hitting, his numbers would look better as well, I think.
Yeah. I mean, there's Lane Thomas, Nolan Jones.
Big Christmas.
Well, he's gone.
He's gone.
Angel Martinez. Oh, I'm scared. Daniel Schneiman? whatever his name is.
Schneiman, whatever.
Yeah. Good player. I mean, good utility player. A good journeyman to have around to fill spots.
Yeah.
Ryan Orocchio. Oh, he had like a 0-50 something streak going. And then Gabriel Arias, he's out with a sprained ankle, and he's not setting the world on fire. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, there's just, this is harkens back to the 80s and 70s. And
yeah.
Where he had some great pitching, but nobody could hit. And it's just collapsed. I mean, it's just not.
From last year.
It's just a collapse.
Yeah.
And they gave up, they had some really good pitchers. They just let go and sign. He was with the Cubs. He pitched against us and he was tremendous. But the pitching, you can't complain about the pitching.
No.
I mean, Logan Allen's Jr. I mean, Logan Allen's been doing well.
Obviously.
Gavin Williams.
In our system, we have a way of finding pitchers. We do. But we don't have a way of finding any hitters.
Yes. We have the lowest batting average, I think, in the major leagues. We have the most shutout losses of any team in the major leagues. And we're going down fast.
Yes.
And no matter what Stephen Vogt tries to do, it's not working.
Yeah.
These guys are so, how can I say it? Tight. Let's say they're tight.
Okay.
That, this loss after loss after loss. I mean, they went from contention in the wild card to almost being out of the wild card.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not out there. But they're 8 games below 500. They're 5.5 games out of the last wild card
spot,
which is not impossible.
No.
But
the season is just now a little over halfway over.
Yeah. It's dismal. I just can't believe that we're talking about how bad our Cleveland Guardians
essentially are. Almost essentially the same team as last year, essentially, not completely.
Well,
there are some differences in there, but.
Well, Josh Naylor is the key part.
He is the key part.
You traded him away. You got indirectly a pitcher for him that does okay, but he was. There was somebody saying there's just some clubhouse problems with him. I never heard of it. But
with Josh?
Yeah, with Josh. There was some clubhouse.
Okay. I had not heard that.
I don't know. I mean, that's a rumor.
It doesn't seem to be a problem where he's at now.
No. So.
Isn't that the same kind of thing we heard about a guy named like Baker Mayfield? Isn't it?
It could be a rumor started by the team that, you know, to try to justify the trade and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's not because of money, because Carlos Santana is making more than Josh Naylor is. No, he's a free agent after the end of this year, and he deserves a big bonus after.
Yeah.
He's playing a contract year. I mean, Bo Naylor? 177. I mean, Austin, you got to have some offense out of catching.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. They're trying everybody and their brother in right field. They're not. letting.
Did you get the call up yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Boy, they called me up there really nice. And I just want to preface there. I mean, these are professional athletes.
They are.
And I couldn't hold their gloves. But they're in the realm of other teams, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
And I'm just saying.
They're professionals against professionals.
You could say, well, you couldn't even hold their glove. You're right. But I am not at that level. These guys are at a level, a major league level, and they're not performing.
Right.
And we have every right as a fan to criticize this team and the front office. You know, positive upside Antonetti and the Chernoff. I mean, what are they going to do? I don't know. I know what the Nationals did to their front office. They got rid of them.
Yes.
It's almost breaking news. Not quite breaking news.
Yes, really. Yes. It's slow. Wait.
Dave Martinez.
It's a slow one here. Okay. There we go.
Okay. So
the other stapler is better for that.
Anyway. And then you come off the Cavs season, which was very disappointing. And there really is not a whole heck of a lot of optimism for the Browns. And it's kind of a downer right now for Cleveland sports. We got to hope the WNBA
Which is 2 years away.
And there'll be an expansion team, so they won't be good right away.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And speaking of WNBA.
Yeah.
I sent you some, and a chance to look at me, some videos on Caitlin Clark. And how she's literally getting beat up, and how, when Michael Jordan was in his prime, you think the NBA would let him get beat up like she is? Here's something on the WNBA has never had a star like Caitlin Clark. Her debut game shattered viewership records. Her presence sells out arenas across the country, often regardless of the home team. The league's merchandise sales have doubled since her arrival, and perhaps most significantly, she's brought a wave of new fans, many of them young, many of them tuning into women's basketball for the very first time. When Clark plays, the numbers are astronomical. Viewership up 400% for nationally televised games. Ticket resale spikes 250% in some markets. Social media growth, Fever's Instagram following has increased 390% since Clark was drafted. But when she doesn't play, the numbers fall fast. Clark recently missed 3 games due to an injury. Attendance dipped. Engagement plummeted. Ticket prices on the road games dropped by as much as 42%. She's not just a player, one league insider said. She's an economic machine. So the question becomes, why would the league allow its most valuable asset to be battered, ignored, and downplayed? And that's what the commissioner's done. She's been downplaying her ever since she came into this league. Here she's this big star getting all this attention. Here are these women who are playing the game for at least a couple of years or better and not getting the attention. This is what shows you the impact that the woman, Caitlin Clark, does. And yet they've done opposite of protect her. They've said, let her take it.
I don't know. First of all, you're absolutely right. She has been the catalyst for the, I wouldn't call it the rebirth of the.
Or resurgence, because it is numbers that they've never had before.
No, so she is.
Catalyst. You could just call her a catalyst.
Of this enthusiasm for women's professional basketball. And I haven't seen the videos, but I'm going to take your word for it that she has been, she's a tall, very thin woman. I don't know how much her body can take. I mean, she seems to give it as much as she has to back too.
Yes.
But that basketball is supposed to be a non-contact sport. I mean, you go up there for a layup and you're going to, somebody's going to try to stop you and hit your arm or something. But from what you're saying,
she's been smacked in the face. She's been thrown to the ground or smacked in to knocked off balance to be tripped up and thrown on the ground. And it's just unbelievable.
I think we mentioned why while you're trying to kill the goose that laid the golden egg.
Absolutely.
I mean, not only that, you're looking at expansion, more revenue coming into the league, more money available for salaries. I mean, I know they don't make nearly as much as men, but they're starting.
But they're starting to
build.
Partially because of the attention she's bringing. I can only think of one single person who's brought attention to a sport the way she has to the WNBA, and that would be Tiger Woods.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, you know? I mean, golf. I mean, you had your star.
Right, you did.
And Tiger Woods was the first. Let's say, I think we could be correct by saying he kind of the first athletic golfer.
Yes.
I mean, he brought physicality to the game of golf, right? I mean,
Mike Faulb has walked with him especially when we were here in Firestone. And he said, you know, you see him in pants and in a short sleeve shirt, but you have no idea till you're that close to how buff this guy actually is, how big, how strong he is.
And the hand-eye coordination, the whole thing. He brought golf. I mean, everybody, Tiger Woods. I mean, if Tiger Woods finished 97th.
People would still tune in.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The winners, the top five were and Tiger Woods came in 80th. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's still a draw.
Yes.
And I don't think anybody really has taken his place.
No.
No.
So who was the one before that? I know it was basically the 70s when you had Nicholas and you had
Palmer. Gary Player was a good athlete, too. But
as far as bringing attention to the sport, Golden Bear and Palmer were probably two that really did it, where Tiger brought a research and brought a lot of young African Americans to think maybe I can do this sport.
Yeah.
And he grew not only so like Caitlin Clark, not only did he bring an interest into the game and up the game and up their viewership and all these things. That's exactly what she's doing. And there are going to be a whole lot of girls and young women who say, if she can do this, maybe I can do this. And they go into the sport wholehearted. And because of her.
And it has matriculated down to college and high school and even grade school. Because young ladies went, hey, this I want to be like her.
Absolutely.
And I guess we'll see. I mean, I don't know the hierarchy that, Adam Silver, who's the commissioner of the NBA, I didn't know he had authority.
Power. He has, because technically WNBA is under the NBA.
And I don't know how. Do they have the power? I always thought
he has the power to remove her.
I thought the governors, as they call them, of the league of the WNBA are the ones that hire the commissioner. They didn't hire Silver, did they? I don't know.
I think it's an offshoot of the NBA, so therefore, ultimately, the answer to the NBA, which she hasn't had to do up to this point because, you know, like when the Rockers were here first time, it didn't make a dime, which was their doom and demise.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the interest, they're excited to get another team back. It wasn't just fans watching. League sources confirmed the NBA Commissioner Adam Silver personally requested to review the footage and was, according to one insider, deeply concerned by both the content of the video and the league total silent response. Then came the leak in a separate video that just surfaced a few days ago, showing a brief but revealing courtside exchange between WNBA officials during a Fever game. Though the audio was partially obscured, lip readers and enhanced audio tech suggested the ref said, "We're being told to tone down the Clark stuff." The WNBA has not confirmed the authenticity of the footage, but it hasn't denied it either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, it doesn't make any sense I don't know the genesis of why all these other players are going after her. Why? I mean,
because there's jealousy. It's nothing but complete jealousy. I mean, you have one player that knocks her down all the time and says, What does she, besides the 3-point shot, what does she bring to the WNBA? You know what? I told you the numbers that she brings to the WNBA.
Well, okay, but I hate to get into gender things, but is there jealousy in the NBA that has the equivalent of what's happening to Caitlin? Okay, no. you have a hot new star coming, like Cooper Flagg, coming out of Duke and playing for the Dallas Mavericks. Is people going to be jealous of him? And I don't.
Are they going to be angry at him sometimes? Some of the players, maybe. But just if they don't have the same talent to keep up with him, then that's them.
Yeah. The NBA is letting their players really hammer away, too.
Sometimes. They certainly did during the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's a non-contact sport, and the more contact you have in basketball, the worse the game is because it slows it down.
Yeah.
And you're not letting people do what they're supposed to be doing, which is scoring goals. If you're hacking everybody and then you got to get, you know, you're hurting them, or you're taking more time in the game to have foul shots. I think it's boring when they have people, and they should stop it. It's not always been that way.
No.
And we'll see.
Although Jim Vilk will tell me you can see things where people literally get punched in the nose in the NBA and stuff like that. I mean,
some of these guys are 7'1" and they have arms the size of condors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. By the way, a couple positive things at least.
Oh, good. I could use a positive.
Jose Ramirez is going to be a starter for the All-Star game, voted in by the fans, and Stephen Kwan is a reserve. So we have those two players, which is basically our whole team, at least going to play in the All-Star game. Big whoops, but I have no interest in the All-Star game, especially now that they mic up the players and talk to them during the
game. Talk to them during the game,
it just
drives me nuts. That it's a real game, not that it means anything, but I still don't like talking to a player while if they're in a dugout, talk to him.
Why?
Well, that's true.
Okay, they put him in a little square and they're talking to him and the game's going on. That is a bunch of, some focus group said, I like that. Okay, I really do like that. So let's do this. Oh, come on.
Yeah. But not when they're on the field.
No.
Next thing you know, they're going to be at bat and they're going to say, okay, what do you think is coming? Well, you know what? I'm studying this tape. So I think this is what's going to be coming my way. You know, come on.
Another milestone in baseball this week.
Mm-hmm.
Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw became the 20th pitcher in Major League history with 3,000 strikeouts.
Yeah.
But Randy Johnson, you remember Randy Johnson?
Yes, yes.
The big
tall guy.
Big hurt or big something.
Yeah, big hurt. Tall guy. Looked about 10 feet tall when he stood on the
mound. Oh, yeah, it was 6'8".
Yeah, something like that. But we put him on the mound, he looked about 10 feet tall.
He had 475 strikeouts.
Wow.
In his career.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll make the Hall of Fame.
Well, he's in. Steve Carlton, Hall of Famer.
Yes.
41-36. And our own CC Sabathia, who's now in the Hall of Fame, 3,093, or going into the Hall of Fame. Well, we have a lot of stuff we didn't cover.
Well, we were stuck a little while on the Guardians.
Yeah.
And that may be the last time we talk about them hardly this year.
Yeah, I know. You ready? I only have one.
Okay.
Who was the least guilty American president?
The least guilty American president?
Yeah.
Garfield? He was only in office for a few months.
Lincoln. He was in a cent.
He was in a cent. Okay. I get it.
Pretty bad, huh?
It was not your best, but it's okay. I get it. All right. That's going to do it.
What a world.
Now you got homework. But anyway.
What homework is that? Houston.
Houston and a better pun next week.
I'll try.
Okay, there we go. And we'll see everyone next week on Sports Sidebar.